A Christian mind is not one that is trained to think only about Christian topics. It is a mind that has learned to think about everything from a Christian perspective.
We have to understand God rightly to know Him intimately.
It is the gospel that orients my thinking on every other issue.
You can know, if you're trusting in Jesus, that every single atom in this universe is working for your good.
That's why I'm sticking with Jesus. Not because He always does what I want Him to do. I'm sticking with Jesus because I just haven't found any better alternative.
You're saying, where's Mary today?
Where's Mary today?
Mary's on us.
She's on holiday. It's holiday number one.
Actually inside the church.
Mary
building.
Took the BlackBerry money and decided
it's holiday number one.
But yeah, so this is the first time it's just going to be us,
yeah.
I guess.
Who are we?
Zoe.
You're BlackBerry without Mary.
This one's actually recorded, so you can see our faces. But yeah, this is probably the first time that no one from like the original...
Oh, snap.
Yeah, from like the original BlackBerry is here.
Wow.
You know what? We did one episode last season when it was me, Ejim, and Ali. I don't think Ejim was original.
Edge is not original, but I count as original, but he's not.
Yeah, so I think that was probably the closest thing to it. Yeah, because that was the only other time Mary couldn't make an episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys, for those that are watching, if I keep looking up, it's because my soccer team is playing. And it's
soccer?
On the screen. Yeah, my soccer team. When they lose, when they're doing badly, I call it soccer.
Okay.
Yeah, when they're doing well,
what
football.
Team do you support? I actually don't it.
I support Manchester United, the greatest team in the world.
You don't have to say Manchester, just say man. Like, it's okay. Our viewers know who Man United are.
We might have American listeners. We've got a wide range.
Do we actually have listeners in America?
I have no idea. But.
Okay, I was like, how would we know? I actually want to know that.
I'm speaking into existence.
That's fine. We can talk about for another day.
That's another day.
But yeah, welcome to, what does Marie say?
Episode 4,
season 6.
Whoop, whoop.
Six? Wow, yeah. Season 6, episode 4.
Of the BlackBerry podcast.
Mm.
So, I feel like it's not giving Mary, but Mary's better at this. But anyway, how are you guys? Clearly, Femi's distressed. Would you like to share something with the rest of the class?
It's not important.
How are you, Femi?
I'm right, you know.
Are you sure?
I was right 10 seconds ago.
Then what happened?
It's not important.
Okay.
But no, I'm good. It's been a busy week. I've had a lot on. Even today, I was coaching, had a couple of games. My kids were playing basketball. It was good. Good fun. Yeah, they enjoyed it. They lost, unfortunately, but, you know, it was good fun.
How old are your kids that you...
So the kids I was coaching today were under 12s. I coached under 12s.
Kids,
so I coached under 12s and under 16s. Under 16s weren't playing today, but I was coaching under 12s today. Oh. Yeah, so they're quite young. But it was good.
Mm-hmm. It was cool.
That's me.
I'm all right. Can't complain. Yeah.
What's
busy
day been like?
Had church. And then had some like training sessions after church as well.
Training?
Learning how to preach.
Yeesh.
It's been fun.
Oh, training as in like theological training?
Well,
at least you thought you meant ball, like basketball.
Or
gym?
Nah, I'm not that athletic.
Okay.
Pastor Louis on the way.
No, not even. Just learning. But I'm all right. How are you doing?
It's been a weird week. Like, I feel like I've said this thing 3 times today because people ask me. And I've been like, this week's just been strange. Like, it's not been a normal week, but I can't tell you anything strange that's happened. But it's like a Monday, I woke up and I was convinced it was Thursday. Like, I left the house being like, it's Thursday. And then I was like, it's not Thursday.
Mm.
And then there was another day. It was like, maybe it was Friday and I thought it was Tuesday. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like my brain is tired. Then I've got a migraine, but it's going down and I can barely feel it at the moment. So.
Oh, okay.
But it's been there for like 3 days.
What is like a migraine? Like, what's the difference between is it just the consistency of it, or is it like the pain is just like much more?
Like more than a headache, you mean?
Yeah, as opposed to a headache. Yeah.
So I think from what I can understand, a migraine is like there's something called aura, which is like you can have all these other symptoms that don't include like headache or pain. Mm. So it can be like flashing lights, light sensitivity, nausea, other stuff. And it's usually accompanied by a headache, but it's quite a severe pain or like a dull pain located in a particular place. Like, so mine is right here and here. But this is genuinely not that bad. It's like a 3 out of 10.
Mm.
But it's just, it's persistent.
Persistent.
But migraines they don't have to be long. Mm. This one's 3 days long, but that's not normal for me. Like, it's quite a long one. Don't recommend.
don't recommend
at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're talking off mic about... the Bob Marley film, which no one else has watched apart from me.
Louis is like fully Jamaican. He's never seen the movie. That's so crazy.
Actually, I don't know you're Jamaican.
I'm far from Jamaican.
Oh my gosh, where are you from?
I wouldn't say far from.
I am half Dominican.
Jamaican.
The worst thing is, he's more Jamaican than me.
I thought he was Jamaican.
Half, I'm half. Where Dominican. Are you? What's going on?
I thought
half Dominican, half
Ghanaian.
Okay.
Yeah.
3/4 Nigerian, 1/4 Jamaican.
So you're Jamaican.
You are the Jamaican.
You said he's fully Jamaican.
My grandma's Jamaican.
Dominican.
I'm English.
Oh my gosh. Okay. On that note, so back to Mr. Marley. Mm. So obviously none of you guys have watched it, but generally, what would you say is your? Are you guys fans? Are you guys.
I think fan is probably a strong word. I don't think I really, it sounds bad, but I just never really paid that much attention to reggae music in general. Like if a Bob Marley song came on, I would like listen to it and it sounds like a vibe, but I've never like gone on Spotify and said I want to listen to reggae in my life. Like, but he's an icon and he's got iconic songs, don't get me wrong, but I just never,
it's just not
my type of music, I guess. Yeah.
I'm judging you, but it's fine.
Judge me, it's fine. I'm also quarter Jamaican, so that makes it even much worse, but. Curly.
I actually didn't know you're Jamaican. I didn't know you were Dominican.
Because I'm not.
I don't know where people are. I thought you were Nigerian. Just Nigerian. Just your name.
Do you know what's funny? I remember when... So I grew up listening to a lot of Bob Marley music, just naturally because my parents listened to Bob Marley. But I remember when I became like... When I became a Christian, when I became a little bit more reformed in my way of thinking, I remember going on the iTunes, the old iTunes back in the day, and just deleting all Bob Marley.
Why?
I don't know. I think at the time I was thinking, I can't listen to anything that doesn't glorify Jesus. Get rid of Bob Marley. Like,
that Truth About Hip Hop thing.
In fact, it was not long after that. Yeah, not long after Truth About Hip Hop. Okay. But I remember deleting all the Bob Marley music. And I've only just like started listening within the last year or so, actually listening to Bob Marley.
Do you know what was really funny about Truth About? Sorry to interject. Do you know the funny thing about Truth About Hip Hop? So that was like, for those that don't know, because I was told that sometimes we say things and we assume people know what we're talking about. True. I'm trying to be better with that.
I listen as a smarter. Yeah, I get it.
But Truth About Hip Hop was like a series by this pastor in America that was basically condemning all secular music, specifically hip hop, and about like demonic roots and stuff like that. And it was like a big craze when it came out.
I remember we had to watch it as a church, as in like we had like a house fellowship, but all the kids, all of us, sat down, pressed up. Play.
I actually watched it at college.
I kind of want to watch it again.
I watched it in college. I'll never forget that. It was like a college. I don't know why we watched it in college, but they put it on in college. Maybe it was a Christian group. I don't remember being part of any Christian groups in college, so I have no idea why I watched it in college. But anyway, so we watched it, and then it was like a big thing. Like people were throwing away their CDs, and I didn't have any CDs to throw away, so.
There's that.
It was a big thing. Yeah, but basically, this guy, G. Craig Lewis, I think his name. He was just like, hip hop is demonic and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's heavy on it being demonic, on like there being like encrypted messages.
Things being played backwards.
Jay-Z, like playing, running stuff backwards.
Jehovah.
Good times.
All of that stuff, breaking down videos.
Yeah,
it was heavy. It was heavy. But I think it was around that period when I first saw that and when I first like, became a Christian, I was like, oh, let me delete
everything. Switch it all off, dash it all in the bin.
Yeah, and it was only like I started to build my playlist again because people that know me know I'm heavy on like having different playlists, different genres and stuff.
There's a lot of Bob Marley in there. Bob Marley, I love him. I love the Marleys. I love Bob Marley. I love his songs. I love singing his songs. I love listening to them.
I couldn't name you a Bob Marley album.
To be fair, I couldn't either. Okay. Do you know that irony? I'm saying all of this. I can count like 10.
That you're not a fan then. If you can't name ten songs.
Excuse me.
If you can't name 10 songs, you're not a fan.
No, I can name 10. I'm saying I can't. Out of that 10, I probably can't name more.
All right.
I literally probably just have his like graces.
How many Bob Marley songs can you name? Name.
Shot the Sheriff. No, I'm joking. I don't know.
Is that Bob Marley?
Is that Bob Marley?
Yeah. You know the song.
I know the song. I just confirmed it was Bob Marley that sung it.
Guys, yeah. I went to the cinema yesterday, but not actually to watch this. Me and my friend just like Every Man. So we literally went there for the food. Anyway, we went
there. That sounds wild.
Guys, I promise, the food slapped.
No, not that part.
No, it's so good. So we went for the food, but then we saw people like who'd watched the film. They came like... I'm talking like 30 people strong, like a family, all dressed in like the colours of the Jamaican flag and like waving a big flag. It was really cute.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of sweet. But
what's your review of the movie?
To be fair, I'm not going to lie. When I went, I really, again, what was the theme? I went there to eat. So I genuinely was like in the mood to be in the cinema by myself, which is not like a common thing. I just wanted to eat. So I watched the movie as an excuse to go to the cinema. I literally was like, what's on the cinema? Because I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I love a bit of Bob Marley. Let me go and watch the thing. Mm. So to be fair, I don't think I went with like a, what's my review type.
Like a critique. Yeah. You weren't like critiquing it.
But I think the acting was phenomenal. Like,
I heard, yeah.
Amazing acting.
British guy, isn't it?
British guy. Yeah. And the person who played his wife as well, I can't remember
her name, but she's British.
Yeah. She was in Women King. Like, I can't remember her name, but she's out there. She's really big. The acting was phenomenal. Mm. The music was beautiful. Culture really came through. I think for me, the thing that I was probably just not as aware of. First of all, you guys know how old Bob Marley was when he died?
No, I don't.
45? 36. Yeah, it was. I think he was born in 45.
Jeez, that's my age.
Yeah, 36, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I don't know why I always thought, maybe it's because, what did you say?
I said, that's my age. Like, in the future.
You just gave it.
So silly. So I was literally like, I don't know why. And they only said it at the end of the movie, but I just always assumed he was older. Mm. Maybe it's because I was really young when I started listening to him, so he was always like a big man. Mm. But 36, I was like, you did so much in 36 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But then also, I didn't know how religious he was, how deeply like moved by his faith, which is Rastafarianism, which I don't know lots about, to be honest. But I didn't know how, like, I knew he was a Rastafarian. I didn't know how much it drove like his decision. At least that's what came out in the film. Like, so many of his decision making, his desire to influence his music, like his. I remember there was a scene where like they wanted to cast someone, they wanted a new band member to run bass, I think it was, and he was proper quizzing him like, do you believe? Do you know what I mean? All this kind of stuff. You could tell like this is very important. This drives this man. So yeah, I didn't know that. I don't know much about his life. I was just obsessed with music. So I think that was probably the main things. The film itself, like, yeah, it was a nice film. Like, I'm not a film critic, so like I don't have like deep thoughts about film generally, but yeah, I didn't know that spiritually, like I didn't know how much it was a part of him.
Mm. It's funny you say that. We watched I think it was a few months ago, there was a show on Netflix called I think it was Who Shot the Sheriff, actually, and it was a Bob Marley show.
Oh.
And sure. The idea was
series,
kind of like a documentary.
Oh.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. But for me, one thing I'll say is you do see certain parallels between kind of Rastafarianism and Christianity, to the point where both religions believe in a Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Where kind of Rastafarianism strays away is that they believe in kind of a different Messiah. So like, for example, I think it's he became emperor of Ethiopia, so Haile Selassie. They believe that he was the Messiah at the time. He was basically the coming king and all of that. But all of that to say, like, when I was watching that show, it made me think Bob Marley had, he was willing to lay his life on the line for what he believed in, and I can't remember the full extent of it, but there was a kind of dispute between two factions. Mm-hmm. So in Jamaica at the time,
like the political, that was a big theme of it.
Yeah, and he was really bold in the way that he not only he stood up for what he believed in, but also in the way that he tried to bring people together. So there's this kind of like scene where they're at this concert and he's like performing at the concert and he's performing with so much like facades and like, vim and passion.
That came through in the film.
Yeah. Oh, it came through in the film as well, yeah. Like, and he kind of brought those two kind of political leaders with him as well. And yeah, that was, yeah. I mean, he was clearly like about what he was about and he wasn't afraid to say kind of what he believed in, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't know, like I still don't know like details again of Rastafarianism, but it did just bring up, I guess, interesting thoughts about like, I don't even know what the word is, offshoots or...
offshoots is a good word.
Offshoots really good of word. Like, cults, religions that are may appear to be a type, like a denomination. And yeah, just like what, almost like, what is that? Like what is? Because I think sometimes we can use the word cults, we can use the word, obviously I it's religion, but
religion, yeah.
There's another word.
Sect.
Sect, yeah.
Yeah, sect. There's this cult, there's a sect, there's...
just denomination, sorry, that's what I was thinking. Like, you can have a denomination, which, yeah, maybe it'll be helpful to think about, like, when do we, like, oh, that's just a different type of Christian, like, there may be, like, Pentecostalism or Reformed, but you would consider them to be Christian. You'd be like, okay, they're different denominations, but, like, there's some, I don't know what the word is, offshoots, that you'd be like, this is a cult, like, this is not Christianity.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was.
I would separate like what we mean is, again, going back to that meaning and definitions, in terms of when Christians say cult, we mean a different thing to maybe what a secular definition of cult would be, because again, people outside might look at Christianity as a cult, right? So I think there is a separation in terms of what a Christian would view as a cult. So when Christians say cult, generally, because there's cults outside of the Christian sphere, but when we say Christian cult, generally what I believe it to mean is a denomination, a church, a sect of people that believe in some semblance of what looks like Christianity, but veer away from maybe orthodox beliefs or orthodox doctrines that the general Big C church believe in, right? So like there's key and core things that somehow this cult has veered away from. I think that's the easiest separation. Mm-hmm. And that might not always be obvious, and that's where we have the issue with defining what a cult is, because some of those things may not be clear and obvious. Mm. Where you see, just to give examples, right, a lot of people might look at Jehovah's Witnesses as Christian, or even Mormons, right? And they may do lots of things that are similar to what, Orthodox Christians, not Orthodox as in the denomination, by the way, I mean just in terms of what we believe is just like the same. They might look at it and say, oh no, they're just another Christian group, right? But one of the key doctrines that we believe as Christians is the divinity of Jesus Christ. Mm. And they have a separate belief to majority of Christendom, going from early Christians till now, they believe something different. Mm-hmm. That alone, you could then start saying, okay, there's, you can start defining them as a cult. Mm-hmm. And there might be other things, maybe not as big as like questioning Jesus' divinity or having a different version of Jesus. A lot of the common ones, because sometimes you can, I've actually watched and read a lot about cults and stuff like that. So I think one of the things where, even if they have a lot of those, again, quote unquote, orthodox beliefs that all Christians do, you have like, it could be worship of leader. So you have a charismatic leader where there seems to, most of their worship might be directed to, as opposed to God or Jesus Christ. Yeah. Just, or not even as opposed to, but even along with, like just an obsession, an obsession with a man. Mm. Sometimes it's people that claim to be second coming of Jesus. Sometimes it's just someone that is just, there's so many examples. You've got Jim Jones, which was a massive example. If you don't know about Jim Jones,
I don't know why.
Not the rapper. Not the rapper.
When I was like 16, I don't know why I became like obsessed with like that.
It's an interesting story.
And I proper like watched all of it. I haven't thought about it in so long. So I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah,
Jim, that that everyone killed himself.
That's
on
what everyone
Was it Guyana they did it? Or Grenada? Guyana, I think it was. He took him to.
It's definitely South America.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, I don't want to go into the Jim Jones stuff, but if you're listening, check it out if you've never heard of him. It's interesting. It's sad, but it is definitely interesting. And you got other ones like Waco, the Branch Davidians. We spoke about this on the podcast, actually.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, Branch Davidians. So they were like...
Branch Davidians?
Yeah. Yeah, they were a sect. They were a sect in a place called Waco, Texas. Mm-hmm. And then they got into like a war with the police or something like that. And... the police or whatever in America found out that they had guns and they were just doing madness. And then they basically had a shootout. And then the main leader, Koresh, something, David Koresh, then just set the whole church on fire. And like people died.
His own church.
I've never heard of this one.
Never heard of it. I'm so surprised. Check it out. Sorry. We spoke about it on BB. I don't think either of you were on the episode. So
he
that
was
makes sense.
Fighting. So he's part of the police.
No, so he's part of the Branch Davidians. Yeah. So I'm summarizing the story.
The police are fighting, but he set fire to his own church.
Basically. So they have like a few day shootout. It's like on TV and everything. They're having a shootout.
Like live, sorry. Yeah, it was live on television.
News crews and stuff like that.
I've never heard of this, but sorry.
It's back in the day. Again, something that you should go YouTube. But it's back in the day, to be fair. Yeah, and then he ended up sitting like it was like not just a church, it was like a compound. Like you got another common thing you see
with
cults.
People in it.
Yeah, so a lot of things. Another common things you see with cults is they're big on like bringing people together in terms of like living together. So they were all living on this compound, and then
reminded me actually of it can't be the same one.
It's crazy.
But there was a group of it was kind of like a group of Mormons, but it was a separate group of Mormons. And I can't remember the leader's name. I think he's in jail now. He might have died.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is Netflix. It's a documentary on Netflix. Yes. I can't remember the name.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
A cult section of Mormons in Utah, basically they had a compound, lots of land.
Utah is Mormon heavy.
Yeah, it's Mormon heavy, definitely. But they had a massive compound, and what the what they would do is basically if you join this kind of, they won't call themselves a cult, but if you join us, you would have this in heaven, you'd have that in heaven. And what they did was, a lot of it was surrounded by with paedophilia.
Because
a lot of the guys would have like young girls as wives and stuff, and to the point where there are loads of families in Utah where there are certain guys that have 30 or 40 brothers and sisters just for that reason. But all that to say, it's funny because when I think of cults in general, I think of there's always, like you said, Femi, like they stray away from like Orthodox Christian beliefs, but sometimes they masquerade themselves like they do have Orthodox Christian beliefs.
So
it's like, oh, you know, we're this, we're that. I think Mary explained on the last episode, not to say that these guys were part of a cult, but they were witnessing with with two guys, and all of a sudden the guy started saying something that was, whoa, wait a second, like this.
Baptism. Baptism saved or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I do think sometimes, especially like in Mormon circles and in other cults, it's let's just show this side of it first, and the deeper in they get, the more they can see of all the other stuff, and let's just leave all the other stuff to the side. We don't want to see that bit just yet. And that's why, when you know, when we all stories like this, like of Jim Jones, et cetera, like, you just don't get it. But I think a lot of other people would just take every other religion and just say cult, Christianity. And then you have denominations within Christianity. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So are we saying the denomination, are we saying that there's beliefs that are just generally held as like, within the church, as in the church being like Christians worldwide, there's a set of beliefs that people would say this is like orthodox, this is like, this is the basics. And then there's people that stray from their basics. So you can have like, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to save us from our sins. We're sinners, like basic things. The gospel, saved by grace. And then within that, there may be completely different views of, like, the gifts of the Holy Spirit or, you know, just different things. But we're all believers here.
Yeah.
But then you have groups of people who might openly identify. They may still call themselves Christians or see themselves as part of the church, but actually the church essentially rejects them as the church because they're believing things like, no Mormonism kind of believes in like an endless amount of gods ascend to godhood the one true God is actually used to be a man and is developed into God or whatever, that the church actually says, we cannot say you're part of us.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I think.
Quite a hard line.
It is. Quite and I think line. In Christian circles, there's always going to be whether it's disputes or disagreements or arguments about secondary or tertiary issues, as long as you believe in the primary things like we've just said. But it's when you don't hold fast to the orthodox basic primary beliefs of Christianity. That's where you eventually stray away. I remember years and years and years ago, I was having a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness on the street, and I remember we were kind of going back and forth on, you know, the divinity of Jesus and who he is. And I remember she just stopped me and said, listen, like, you're my brother. We're brothers and sisters in this. And at the time I was like, no, we're not. No, we're not brothers and sisters. Look, we don't even agree on this and this. And it was her way of saying that. It was just to say, listen, like, we're in the same boat here. Like, we just have a disagreement on this. But actually what we're disagreeing on is fundamental to the Christian faith. So we have to have a discussion on it. And I'm not saying I was proud of saying no, we're not. But
but I was going to say, like, what would you, because you said at the time, that's what you'd have said. Like, would you say anything differently now, not to stick it on you? But the reason it brings us back to, we were talking about this tweet. I'm not sure if you guys have seen it. It's very, very long. And we're just talking about a tweet. It's literally a chapter. Like, it's so long. But it was about somebody saying ultimately that it's really important. It seems that his main point was that it was almost like a rebuke, like, he's a believer, this person, and he's saying that perhaps we don't take heresy seriously enough. And I think he was speaking in the context of cults and being like, we can't be like, oh, like, I hear it, we just see things differently. It's like, no, like, you, do you know what I mean? Like, we need to draw a hard line and be very much, it needs to be clear that we are not part, we don't accept, you're not representing Christ with us type thing. So yeah, sorry, I said that to say, it was longer than that and more comprehensive than that. But sorry, when you said that, it made me think about how would you respond now? Would it be different? Would it be the same?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think my, the underlying thought behind my answer will still be the same, but maybe my approach might be a little bit more different. Yeah, because at the end of the day, if you're trying to win someone to Christ, the last thing you want to do is completely alienate them. But at the same time, like you said, you do need to draw that line and say that, look, if we don't agree on this, then we're in different areas here, and I need to show you why I believe what I believe.
It sounds like there's two approaches that you said is wanting to win over the person, that's a key thing, but also truth telling.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, Christians don't have a massive problem, because even going back to the tweet, I feel like for the most part, I don't think Christians have a point or a problem in differentiating like the very high level ones in terms of what's a cult and what's not, or like who's like one of us in a sense and who's not. Like generally, Christians would believe someone like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they're the examples that generally use. There's other examples, but those are the two prominent ones. We'll say, yeah, they're not brothers and sisters in Christ in the nicest way possible. Their beliefs are too far apart from what we believe in. I think where it gets tricky, and I even saw a little bit of a debate on this on TikTok, about like either being too like loose with it and saying, oh, this church is a cult, this church is a cult, this church is a cult, or like not speaking up enough. Like, so it's like, oh, like, yeah, so it's like, oh, every single church is a cult. Every single church that has a slightly different belief than us is a cult. Or that it's a bit funny the way they do things, it's a cult. Or like, everyone's acceptable and everything's acceptable. As long as they say they believe in Jesus, everything's acceptable. It's that kind of drawing the balance or finding the balance somewhere in the middle of those two things. So I think that would be helpful for us to like kind of, like, I think we touched on it a little bit in terms of saying like, oh, you know, the fundamental beliefs, you know, yeah, maybe these are super charismatic, we're not, we're still brothers and sisters kind of thing, because we believe in those fundamental things. Or like this tweet is implying, should we be more like, oh no, but they got this scripture wrong, or they've interpreted this thing this way, so that means heresy and blah, 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 and we should cast them out kind of thing. Like where you kind of draw that balance. The debate that I was seeing on TikTok was more, I think, what actually happened, because I remember I saw the actual original video. One guy was like, oh, I went to this church, it was like a youth church, and he was like, oh, I didn't get a good vibe. And I think he used the word cult. And I don't know what the full context of why he was calling it a cult, but he used the word cult. And he got loads of backlash, like saying, oh, like, why are you saying this a cult? And da 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 blah, 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 blah. And a lot of people, especially a lot of young people on TikTok, were like, no, like, why would you say it's a cult? Why would you say it's a cult? So yeah, it just made me think about like why people draw for that word, and should we draw for that word? Because a common thing that I look out for, outside of the obvious things, and not even necessarily to call something a cult, but it just at least made me feel uncomfortable, is worship of one man. Like when you see that, because again, you might not get, yeah, they might say they believe in Jesus Christ and all those things, and divinity and the Trinity and the gospel being our saving grace, but they worship this one man, and everything this one man says, they live and die by. You know, there's other things that just look very like just not healthy in terms of the way they do church. I might not come out and say that's a cult, but I'll definitely say there's something going on there. So like, what do you guys think? What other things do you think is worthy of something being called a cult outside of like just disagreements on like the fundamental beliefs? Are there any other things that you look out for and say, oh, that's a bit culty, or oh, that's a bit dangerous, or blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, I think kind of what I was mentioning earlier. So if you masquerade as someone who you just need to score, I can see by your face.
I was literally so funny, because I was about to see by your face, I could tell.
As I was talking, I was just watching them celebrate. I was just like,
did you guys, your guys score?
No, we did not.
But if you,
my eyesight's not good. That's the red one is losing.
But I do think that with cults in general, there's always a sense of hiding or masquerading something, and I'll say that especially when you talk to Christians as well. When I've spoken to one or two people, I've spoken to Mormons in the past.
People in a cult speak to Christians.
Yeah, so people in a cult speak to Christians. They always try to find an area where we're unified. And do you know what? I guess Christians might try and do that as well in their own witnessing. But it's funny, because in the tweet, the tweet that you refer to, He makes a, where was it?
He is talking about, just to clarify, this one, from what I could see, he was talking about heresy. Not about, heresy, like, yeah. I agree, yeah, I disagree, yeah, yeah. But just heresy, like, yeah.
And he's talking about how we approach heresy, like how we, why we're not taking heresy with the seriousness that we should take heresy with. But there is a term that he refers to, which I think can kind of link to this discussion. And he writes here, brothers and sisters, there is satanic ecumenism, which is basically him saying there's a unity of faith that is satanic. And he's saying that basically the devil is happy when, for example, cults and Christians align and they come together. And I do think that that's something that people that are in cults, they try to do very firstly. Like they try and bring you in and say, we're all together, we all believe the same thing here and here and here. And it's only when you dig a bit deeper that you realize they are straying away. And I think where else, just to, because I think your question was like, where would you define what
where
a cult is?
Draw the line?
I think when there's a deliberate effort to hide what you really believe from the person who's like completely unbecoming to it, like to hide what you really believe from someone until they actually see what you believe. I think
is there anything else that you would say outside of those two things? I think that's one thing. Not disagreeing with the fundamental beliefs is another thing.
Worshiping one man.
Let's take the worship of one man, because that's quite loose, you know, because that happens a lot. Like, not everyone would describe it as worship of one man, but it's prominent, right? Like where the head of the church is the focal point.
The way truth life.
No one would describe it as they're worshipping. Yeah, no one's going to come out and say, I'm worshipping this man. No one's going to do, maybe some people. Mm. But a majority of people will never say that. But in their actions, it certainly looks that way. Like, do we have a responsibility as Christians to warn against that? It's called that a cult?
I was going to say, like, I feel
or is
like,
cult a strong word for something like that?
I feel like I actually find it quite hard to... not necessarily draw the line, but I feel like maybe it's the language for me. I feel like if I was to speak about heresies, I might find it easier to be like, okay, scripturally, Paul was like, this is a heresy, or da da da. Do you get what I mean? Like, I might,
it's much easier to
this is false teaching or whatever. That it feels easier to pinpoint. But I'm wondering if it might be helpful, kind of for my mind, but also for us, for the listeners, to think about why does it even matter? Like, why do we think? Because it sounds like on one hand, we're saying it's important to affirm people that are Christians that have different beliefs to you, different denominations. It's important to affirm that they are still believers. Mm. And it's important to draw a line. Why is that? Like, what is at stake on either side? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, why does it matter? Why is it important for us to not...
I think it's important to...
To do life with other believers, that's not...
I think it's better to affirm because... I think to intentionally affirm because I think it's a lot easier to like be like, these people are different, so they're not one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy to fall into that pattern. So like, sometimes reminding ourselves that, oh yeah, these people are... Even if we have differences in the way we do things, the way we express, even like maybe some secondary or tertiary beliefs or like doctrines, they might be different, but... We still have unity with them, I just think it's easier to be way more divisive and say, oh, they do things this way, so they are not one of us, or they do these things this way, so they are not one of us, or they are. So I think it is important to affirm what makes you a Christian, like what actually makes you a Christian. Okay, do we understand that? Okay, then if that is true, then you are a Christian. You might do things differently. You might even do things that I disagree with, but you are a Christian, and that's important. Mm-hmm. Definitely, just as important to draw the line because heresy will lead you away from God. Like, it will lead you to a place you don't want to go. So it's important to know where, okay, no more kumbaya, no more holding hands. Like, what your belief and what you're teaching your people is sending them in not the path. It's not in the path that they should be. So let's draw a line. And let's not be in communion with those that don't believe in what we shouldn't be. Like, we shouldn't be in communion with those that believe or disagree with those fundamental, which we've already... and it's just dangerous. And I guess because what Louis said as well, like so many of those things are hidden. And because so many things are hidden, I hear what the guy's saying about, you know, being a bit more open about heresies, not open, like confronting. Because a lot of it is hidden. Like, and a lot of people may grow up in these places and have no idea that some of their beliefs are wrong. Or even that they might be in a church where they don't even know some of their beliefs. I've seen it happen. Like, there's been people that I know personally that have gone to churches and got involved, got, you know, in a sense indoctrinated, and then found out later, oh, like this is what they believe on this and this and this, and it might, yeah. So it's important to like, yeah, where we see it, don't be scared to like call it out and say, no, this isn't right. And the whole, we spoke about it last week or last episode, where it's like, oh, should we be calling out Christians or like publicly and stuff like that? Yeah, we spoke about it, right? But if they believe certain things, they're not Christians. Yeah. Or if they don't believe certain things, they aren't Christians. Mm. So more right to us to call them out and say, no, this isn't right.
I think that's an important point in terms of like what's that last point about like what is, why the drawing the line could be so important, because it's like this is actually, like if we're taking it seriously as believers, we actually believe that we have like the keys or like the truth about life and death, how to be saved, how to live eternally. Like that is the message. Like that's what we're saying, this is the way that you can live forever and not face judgment and not go to hell and go to heaven. Like it's almost like we can't afford to play around with that and be like, yeah, I hear that you're saying that this is the way, but we'll be like, yeah, we agree. It's like we can't agree, like can't, you know. So I think that's a helpful thing for me to hear. What was there anything you wanted to add about like why is it important, why must we affirm unity, and why must we be picky as well? Like,
yeah,
draw hard lines.
I would say in terms of yes, we do need to draw a distinction between kind of affirming unity in a church and calling out a people or a group of people or organizations or institutions who claim to be a Christian but have completely different orthodox beliefs. We do have to have that kind of line drawn. But I would say it is really important to affirm unity, especially in the church where there are so many different denominations. And I'm referring to like denominations who, where we have the same fundamental beliefs about Christianity, but we just have different church structures and things of that nature. It's so important to affirm that, because the more, and we spoke about this a little bit last week as well, but the more grumbling and disputing and complaining that we see within the church, the less of a light we can be kind of to the world around us. So yeah, I think if we are, so for example, let's just say, I'm trying to think of like a secondary like issue in the church. Let's say we argue about worship music, style of worship music, and we are continually arguing about worship music like in the church and to the point where it spills out in the public, then first of all, for our opponents, that's pretty cool. Like they'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
But second of all, there's no way for us to be a witness, like just in general in the world. So I think affirming and being comfortable with different denominations who believe the same things, but maybe go about things in a different way. And yes, it's okay to have differences. Like, I could be part of one denomination who I don't know, we have a style of worship or we disagree on a certain area, but yet we still believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We still believe the gospel for what it is. And we still both believe that we're like brothers and sisters in the faith. I would work even harder to kind of affirm and maintain that so that we don't look like we're kind of building little, I was going to say sects. Yeah.
Yeah,
building little sects within Christianity in general. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think, yeah, I feel like for me as well, I think there's something quite sacred about being, there's something sacred about being part of God's church, right? And being loved by Christ and being like his chosen people and his bride. And it's almost like, it's kind of scary to think of, like, Christ has many sheep, many cultures, many people with different beliefs, but they're his. Of course, we know that by what they believe about him. But it's like, imagine saying to someone who is one of Christ, you're not one of Christ, or like condemning someone that Christ is not condemning. Like that's really scary to me. Like I always think about, like, on this side of the world we see so many divisions even within the church, and you know, on the other side, in heaven, we're all going to be together, unified. There's still right and wrong. Like, we'll know for real, like, what's right and wrong. But those factions won't divide us. They won't be those kind of splits whereby it's not a heaven and hell thing. It's not a matter of eternal life, even if it's really important. But I just think, how scary would it be to condemn a whole group of believers? Like actual believers, people that Christ is building a mansion for them, and you'll use your mouth to say, this is a cult, or these are believers. Like, it's so it's quite scary. Mm-hmm. I think it's, it's another reason to be like, let's affirm these are our brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and let's affirm these are not.
And Louis kind of spoke to the benefits of it, because we can't condemn anyone. Mm-mm. So like, even if we do, if they believe they're believers, right? All condemning does is actually just dividing us as brothers and sisters. And then our witness is damaged by that. That's what it is that Louis was pointing, So I think that's the why it's important to affirm, because we can do so much together as opposed to apart. Yeah, we haven't got any power to condemn or to save. By ourselves anyway, and who are we to say anyone is saved or not saved? Like, so I mean, well, in a sense, but I think it does damage to us, but at the same time, just as important to affirm, I just think it's important to draw that line, and also like you were kind of saying, not just be loose with drawing the line, and it's important, especially for maybe like young Christians, or I would even say like Christians that were just brought up in the church. And maybe never really thought about thoughts. I'm trying to get out of saying thoughts about like those fundamental beliefs. Like, you might ask them and say, "Oh, what do you believe in?" And they might say, "We don't give it too much thoughts." Mm. So when you meet,
you're really trying.
I'm really trying. I'm trying to change my life. But and they may come in contact with a Jehovah's Witness and think we're the same, right? I'll never forget. I was in college, and I never had much contact with Muslims before I went to college at all. Like, I went to a Christian, quote-unquote Christian school, 99% black, no Muslims, zero, right? And I remember the first time I came in contact with Muslims was in college, in sixth form. And I remember it was my friend and another friend. One was an atheist, I was a Christian, and the guy was a Muslim. And I remember us two were talking about atheists. And we were like, "How can you not believe in God?" Like, da 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 da. And we were like unifying with each other. Yeah. So I'm not even saying that I believed or I felt like he was good. I didn't even think about it that deeply. Mm. But like, we almost had some unity.
There was one unity. Yeah, that God exists.
Yeah, God exists, right? But actually, there's so what we see as God and what he sees as God completely different. And that might be even an extreme example, because you might have more dangerous examples where things like Jehovah's Witnesses. But, you know, it's what it is. And Mormons, where it's like there's even more similarities.
So it's even more important to...
Because you don't really think too much about those fundamental beliefs, like the divinity of Christ, the Trinity, how we are saved. You might not think about those things. Even though you might, deep down, you might believe it, but you don't think about it. You don't give it much thought. Mm. So, or you don't even think about how important those things are to us being Christian. Like, it's not just we go to church every Sunday, like... There's a reason, like, why we are Christian, and that those are the reasons. And if you don't give that enough weight, then you may, you know, God forbid, you might be strayed more easily to another denomination, or you may be affirming people that maybe you shouldn't be affirming at all. So yeah, it's good to think about it, especially again. I would say, especially, you know, maybe if you're a new Christian, or if someone's just you just heard it all before, you've been in church your whole life, maybe you don't give it that much thought. Someone asks you, you say, I believe that, but you don't really think about the Trinity, or you don't think about, like, who is Jesus. Like, you don't think, you might think about those things that deeply. So it's good, it's important to think about them.
So you're saying that if you, I was gonna say bank your life on something. I wouldn't say bank your life for now, but if you bank your faith on something, know why you believe it.
Yeah,
100%. Have a reason for it. Like, if someone asks you why you're a Christian. Oh, my mom took me to church. I don't really know much else. Mm. You should probably do a little bit more digging. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Theologize
with F.
What would you say is the single most important thing for someone to know then? Like, if someone's like, do you know what? Actually, I've never, like, I've been in church all my life, or I've just joined a new church, but I've never actually thought, like, what do I need to know? Like, if there was one thing, if there was one, there might not be, what that you're like, this is where you should start. What would you guys suggest? Or this is like, you can't get this, you can't mess around with this.
Yeah, I would say if someone says to you, what is the gospel? You should be able to explain what the gospel is. Now, I'm not saying that you have to spend an hour talking about the gospel, but like you should have an idea of what the gospel is. Because I think that's so important. And I think of... where Paul says, like, I'll always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. So I would say, understand what the gospel is. Be able to define it. It doesn't have to be, like, really scientific or, like, with huge words or whatever, but just understand, like, what the gospel is. And if you don't understand what the gospel is, then, definitely, like, do some digging, do some research, read the Bible, speak to someone, because I think everything, like the entire Christian life, flows out of that.
What? I would say the gospel, who God is, who Jesus is, super important. What do you guys think? Because I guess a fundamental belief could also be the inerrancy of Scripture, and that might not be something that a lot of people hold a lot of weight to as well. You get a lot of denominations that might say, "Oh, the Bible."
What do you mean by inerrancy?
I don't have to define that word.
Well, how would you define it? Just for
so, like, it's without error. It's God's word.
Yeah,
it cannot be changed. It is all sufficient.
Yeah.
Any other?
Yeah. The main thing is there's no errors in the
Bible. No errors. Fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's just like it's God's word, right? And that is like something. So how much weight would you put on that? So like if you don't believe the Bible is inerrant, would you say they're part of a cult? Would you say they're not Christian? Like how would you? Because that's where, you know.
Yeah,
because some people might still say God is God's word, but maybe it's still obviously is written by man as well, and it's you know, maybe inspired by man, but you know, could have errors or could have, or even it might even be errors, it might be okay, but there's also additions, or there's new divine revelations, there's things that we can add to it. That's a popular belief. So would you then start saying, okay, they're moving into culthood if they're saying that, or how important is that to you?
I think it is. That's a great question.
Yeah, that is.
I think it is extremely dangerous, a dangerous line of thinking. I think.
Wait, what's the dangerous?
Sorry, line of thinking? Sorry.
To not
affirm
the Bible.
The Bible as inerrant, I think, is a very, very dangerous. I think. The person of Christ who we come to know of in the Bible, through the Bible, affirms several times the Old Testament, affirms that he sends his spirit for the current, like through the apostles, that was going to, the Holy Spirit is going to remind them of things that he said, et cetera, et cetera. And I do think it can be a circular thing whereby it's like, where it's basically saying that the Bible says that the Bible's inerrant. And I think that's correct. I think that doesn't make it untrue, but I think that is actually what we're saying. And I would encourage people to remember that when we do say that, believers actually believe that the Bible's a miracle. So we actually believe that it's been preserved miraculously and that it's the perfect word of God as a miracle. Like, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's a miraculous work. It's not an obvious kind of like, well, obviously people just got together. It is miraculous to us that it's inerrant, but it's, I think it's an essential. I'd be worried about the faith of someone who didn't believe that, the direction that we're going. But might be a good one for us to spend more time on actually on a different.
Yeah, because that progressive Christians, for example, would say, oh, maybe I believe in God. I believe in truth. I believe in all that stuff. I even believe in the gospel, but I also think Scripture is evolving, and like it doesn't stay the same. Mm. It's progressing in a sense.
I'd be scared.
Yeah, I think especially if they've been a Christian for a while and they still believe that, then you'd have to kind of wonder how much kind of Bible study have they been doing, or who are they being influenced by to come up with that kind of statement? That, for example, the older Bible has errors, or it's man. So, for example, it's 2 Timothy 3. That it says that all Scripture is profitable and breathed out by God. So it's like, if to say that there's errors is to say that verse is wrong.
Yeah. But again,
I guess that's the circular thing, right? Because someone might be like, "Well, what is Scripture?" So yeah, all Scripture is breathed out by God, but who's to say? This canon conversation, who's to? And that'd be a good thing to.
It's not even just people, and it's not just it's just not individual people's denominations, and it's not always saying that it's got error. Sometimes they say, "No, but we can add to," and so there's a wide spectrum of what the Bible not being complete, maybe inherent, not the only word that could lead to. So it's something that maybe another podcast might be.
That reminds me, you guys had a conversation on that last season. On why you can trust the Bible.
Can you trust the Bible?
Yeah,
that was good. That was good.
I think you were.
So you were.
I remember Israel was on the phone, and I was eating.
Yeah, you were.
I think that's a good kind of foundation. But yeah, I think
reference
at some point.
Yeah, so go back to that episode and see what we think about the Bible.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I feel like that was...
Who needs Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, it's all right. We don't. Yeah, next episode, it's all right. We got this.
Manchester United lost, by the way. Just for our listeners. That. Oh, you know, the whole time, towards the end. Towards the end, yeah, I was just...
3-1.
Yeah, towards the end, I was just like, can you just blow the whistle so I can focus on this episode? I literally just wanted the match to finish. Like, every single time they scored, I was just like, blow the whistle. I want to focus on this episode.
Yeah, to our listeners, don't worry. We'll watch, like, we'll have another game on and it'll be, like, lesser teams. So yeah, we won't really be interested.
Honestly, Nigeria, Man United. Yeah. Oh, bruv. Anyway, it's not ready. I thought I knew we were going to lose anyway.
Dare I say, we have an Ask BB coming up soon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should probably start putting stuff up.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, send in your questions.
Yeah, that would be really good. And any questions about cults as well, like anything that we've spoken about. Think about it. But yeah. Take care, guys.
Take care. Have a good week.